This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to Sports Bettors Paradise on the Bet Rivers Network.
All right, Jimmy out along with a red hot, I mean a sizzling Paul Stone as we come down to stretching its college basketball season. Paul Stone follows up his 5-0 week in the opening round of the NCAA tournament with a 3-1 week. And Paul, we took a tough break. I mean, when your best player, your first team All-American goes down for the game with an injury like Jamal Shedd did, well, that's a tough one. So in-game I was playing, I had to play a little Duke to cover it at even money. Because that is, I mean, he's the heart and soul. Not only does he score himself, but he creates for his teammates, and he demands also his team to play with, you know, 100% intensity. That was just of all players to lose, he's the guy you would like to lose less, least rather. So anyway, Bruce Marshall went 3-1 last week as well. For the tournament, right here on Sports Bettors Paradise, we are 14-4. Let's keep it going. Let's go to the Final Four in the Phoenix area. Start with the first one in Purdue, 9.5, 146 over NC State. An 11 seed NC State. I mean, it was too simple. I mean, 33 years of doing sports radio in the South Louisiana area. I mean, like, this is too simple to compare to 1983. But damn it, here they are again. And at this time, they weren't given much of a hope. Now, they were, it's a little bit different. The two kind of Cinderellas, Georgia and NC State, were playing each other. This time, we got the two big dogs, Purdue and UConn, matched up against two Cinderellas. But anyway, for them to make it all the way where they had to win every game, a benefit from a missed free throw, like in the Virginia game in the ACC tournament, like they did against Pepperdine in 83. Man, the comparisons and the big boy, big hungry down low. My man is a handful. Purdue, 9.5, 146, Paul.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm going to start with Purdue kind of from their perspective. After last year's stunning first-round loss to Fairleigh Dickinson as a 23.5-point favorite, Purdue's obviously they've won all four games, first of all, in the tournament, obviously, but they've covered all four, and the all-around play of 7-4 center Zach Edey just can't be understated. He's averaged 30 points, 16.3 rebounds, and almost two blocks a game in these four games, coming off a 40-point, 16-rebound performance against Tennessee on Sunday. That's the first time that a player in the NCAA tournament has had a 40-15 game since Bo Kimble did it back in 1990 for Loyola Marymount. So a long time coming for another 40-15 performance. You know, I think it's safe to say that UConn and Purdue have been the two most dominant teams in the tournament. They kind of seem like they're on a collision course to play for the national championship next Monday in Glendale. But first, obviously, the Boilermakers have to take care of 11 seed NC State. And you talked about the historic comparisons to 1983 when they beat Houston in five slam-a-jamma 54-52 there in Albuquerque as a 7-point underdog. And it's hard to ignore that. Certainly some parallels between that NC State team and this NC State team. When you examine this game, I think looking at it from what I call a fundamental handicapping perspective, I think you are immediately drawn to the Edey and DJ Burns matchup. You know, Burns, as you mentioned, the NC State's plus-sized forward at 6'9". He's been outstanding in the tournament. He has such a nice depth touch around the basket, gets those front rim rolls with that nice touch. But he's given up 7 inches to Edey, so I think it's going to be interesting to see how effective he can be offensively, whether or not Edey can get him in foul trouble. I think it's safe to say that Edey is going to at least somewhat limit his offensive effectiveness. NC State's going to have to have – they're going to have a big game from DJ Horn, their leading scorer, at about 17 points a game. They're going to have some other players step up as well. But this NC State team entering the ACC tournament, they were on a 4-10 run. It's been well chronicled, 5 wins in 5 days to win the ACC tournament, to even make the NCAA tournament. And now here they are in the Final Four. You know, I'm not typically, as I wrap up here on this game, I'm not typically, Jimmy, a warm and fuzzy, you know, storybook ending type of guy when it comes to handicap. It's all about the numbers in my world. But with that said, you can't just simply ignore and turn a blind eye to NC State's recent magic. And while I'm concerned about how Burns performs against the much taller Edey, I think the Wolfpack are going to stay within shouting distance here. I'll take NC State plus 9.5 against Purdue.
Maybe we'll see more of what we saw in them pitching all speed against Marquette early in the Marquette game, because DJ Burns does a lot of his work down in the paint, down the post, just backing you down. He did that a lot against Baycott in the ACC final, and he's a pretty big body to go with. Edey's a totally different level, but he went out. They went out and he was passing the ball, and that's the understated skill that he has. He had 7 assists against Marquette. He led them in assists, and man, he's very comfortable. Try to draw Edey out a little bit. The game within the game, no doubt. Because listen, that big mountain from West Lafayette, he's gonna be hard to move down there, even with that posterior. That is going to be tough. The other thing, the officiating, you in-game players. Pay attention early, okay? Is it going to be the Tennessee game for Purdue, or is it going to be the Ohio State game where they just beat him up and they got no calls? The officiating was a big story in the game on Sunday against Tennessee. And I don't know if the backcourt was having a regression back to last year, or they were just, hey, let's ride the hot hand. So a little bit of both probably, but I thought the officiating was favorable to Edey in the Tennessee game, and it wasn't. And it's case by case. In the last 2 years, Paul, I've seen it both ways. Now, this one gets a lot of attention. They're going to get a lot of, you know, criticism. But there's been just as many where Edey's been two quick fouls, he's on the bench, you know, and stuff like that. So that is something. He's gotten better also. He's gotten better. There's no question, you know, and, you know, trying to go both ways and things like that. But the officiating for you in-game players is very important as well. The nightcap, it's UConn and Bama. This game opened up 11, immediately bet to the hot UConn Huskies, 12-162 over Alabama. College football analogy for you, Paul Stone. When Nick Saban is LSU in Miami, the U was doing their thing. He goes, I don't know what it is or what they tell those guys in Miami, but when they're up 20, they're trying to get up 30. And I mean, this team doesn't exhale. They don't take their foot off the gas. UConn is just great. And that's a credit to Hurley, although his sound bites are comical. But I mean, man, they play the way it's supposed to play. They'd be played, never taking their opponent for granted. Alabama is a dangerous team. They can beat teams that are very high, and they can lose to teams that they're kind of low. But Nate Oates, one thing about him is that his style of play doesn't lend itself to his team being tight. They're going to play their game, and they're going to, you know, get it up and down. And how funny it is after you lose the star, maybe the team. You know, Tennessee won a football championship after Peyton Manning. Georgia went to that 83 Final Four the year after Dominique Wilkins. Virginia went to the Final Four after Ralph Sampson. So here we go. They lose, you know, a kid who's with the Charlotte Hornets, who's going to be all NBA this year. Now, they had the off the court issues, but here they are in an unsuspected role is Alabama. UConn is 12-162, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, starting with UConn, I mean, you kind of hit on the way that they're playing right now and the way that they're just taking care of opponents in impressive fashion. The cast of characters for UConn, this is not the same team, you know. The cast of characters has certainly changed, but the results have not, you might say. It's well chronicled, but the Huskies, they've not only won their last 10 NCAA tournament games dating back to last season, but they've covered their last 10 NCAA tournament games as well by an average cover of almost 14 points a game. So they're just playing at such a high level in the NCAA tournament. Interesting to note, comparing last year to this year, in last year's 6-game run to the national title, UConn was favored by single digits in every game. So they were favored by 9 against Iona in their first round game. They were favored by less than 9 in every other game last year in the tournament. favored by an average of 5.2 points per game in those six games last year. If you include this weekend's point spread, the game against Alabama, the Huskies in these first five games this year have been favored by an average of 14.5 points per game through the tournaments, again, first five games. So they're getting even more respect this season from the line maker. I think there is some carryover. You look at just the last few games, and I find this interesting as well. The Huskies, they were favored by 13 points against Northwestern. They were favored by 12 points against San Diego State. And now they're favored by 12 points against Alabama. And the reason I say that is you look at the KenPom rankings this morning, Alabama currently ranked 10 spots higher than San Diego State at KenPom, 12 spots higher on the net rankings, which end at the end of the conference tournaments. And then you look at them compared to Northwestern, Alabama 28 spots ahead of Northwestern at KenPom, 44 spots ahead of Northwestern in the net rankings. Again, UConn favored by essentially the same number against Alabama as it was favored against both Northwestern and San Diego State. So all that being said, even though the Huskies have been over the top impressive in their level of dominance in the tournament to this point, you're paying such a premium at this point to back UConn. And maybe it's, you know, maybe it's worth it. Maybe they're going to win this game by 20 points. You look at Alabama, you talked about their pace. They play at a breakneck pace. I think they might even ramp it up a notch against UConn. They don't, you know, we saw what Donovan Clingan did in the middle against Illinois. I think it was a 30-0 run. They weren't scoring at all when Clingan was in the game. He only averages 22 minutes a game. So if you can, you know, quicken the pace, obviously you can get some shots in transition where he's not impacting those shots. You could also get him, you know, maybe you can get him down to 20 or 21 because of the fatigue factor. Maybe he doesn't play at quite as high of a level because of the fatigue factor. So I think they're really going to ramp up the pace even more, even by their standards. You look at Joe Public in this type of game. We've got a standalone marquee event such as the NCAA tournament. Joe Public is going to play UConn, whether the number is 11, 12, 13, whatever you put out there, I think the public's going to play UConn. I think some of the larger bets in this game will come on Alabama, will come later in the week, so-called sharp money. I'm not overly enthusiastic about jumping in front of this UConn train, but I just think the number's too high on the Huskies. And back to my kind of my position and my history as a numbers guy, 12 is just a little too juicy. I'm going to take Alabama plus 12 over the UConn Huskies.
Yeah, I mean, they now in the tournament, like you said, 10-0 straight up, 10-0 against the spread since that loss at Creighton February 20th. And remember, they were coming off of an emotional win at home against Marquette. Marquette was number four in the country at that point. They blasted them pretty good, and there was some emotion that was on display in that game. They're 11-0 straight up and 10-1 against the spread. Committee blew it on the only team that was competitive and came under that number, St. John's. They left them on the wrong side of the bubble there. But it was, yes, it was exactly a 30-0 run. 23-23 in the first half, 53-23 into the second half, a 30-0 run. But yes, even you got dog players like me on UConn as of late. I mean, yes, the public is going to bet them no matter what. And we saw that immediately. It opened up 11, pop, it's up to 12. It might not be done, but the premium, yes, that is. Value is with Bama, the runaway train in UConn. So, hey, Paul Stone is red hot, 3-1 last week, 8 for his last 9 in the tournament. Paul, I've had a good time doing these with you, man. This is our last one for the college basketball season. I've gotten a lot of different comments, you know, down on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. I was doing the March Madness shows, and a lot of people from Georgia and Florida and the Deep South come and tell me how much they enjoy you coming on the show. So, man, we appreciate all that you've done. And, hey, let's keep it up and finish off on a winning note.
Good deal. Well, thank you. I tell you, I enjoy doing this as well. And, appreciate those kind comments, and hopefully we can close it with a couple of winners here in the Final Four semifinal games.
For Paul Stone, I'm Jimmy Ott here on the Sports Bettors Paradise on the Bet Rivers Network.